Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. Seven Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by Sports Drink. Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence got their first win across the pond. It is I, Rob Ball, a.k.a. the cameraman who accidentally recorded Russell Wilson's weird fake two-minute drill prior to Sunday Night Football. That guy's a weirdo. And with me, as always, is AJ. Oklahoma Trays are taking over the NFL. Mark AZ.
More on that later. That's all I got to say to that.
Today, we're breaking down the best and worst rookies from Week 6 in the NFL. Let's hit it.
Going out to Vegas, gonna set my draft. Gonna set my draft. On fire.
Seven
rounds in heaven with my lady. Driving out to Vegas, baby. Looking for a Stingley or Thibodeau. Who's gonna bat it on draft day? Who's gonna wager future picks away? Hey, who's gonna reach for a blue blood lineman? The home team. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
We have a new sponsor that you guys are going to love. Symbol is the stock market for sports that allows you to profit off your sports knowledge. On Symbol, you can trade sports teams like stocks, and every time your team wins, you earn cash. Use your sports knowledge on Symbol to buy low, sell high, and earn cash payouts when your team wins. Join the 7,000 plus early adopters who have started to invest in their favorite teams. Visit www.simbull.com to create a free account. And when you deposit, make sure you use the promo code SD to make your deposit risk-free. That means even if you lose money, Symbol will refund your initial deposit. No questions asked. Join Symbol and start investing and profiting from your favorite teams. Speaking of favorite teams, the NBA season is underway, and as we record, AJ is mentally preparing the first Spotify Green Room of the Year covering the Orlando Magic's regular season. And you're asking, what's Spotify Green Room? Well, it's the live audio-only sports talk platform where people like AJ can go live and you'll be alerted for that good, good, sweet old Jalen Suggs Magic talk. AJ, thoughts on the Magic heading into tonight?
Yeah, if Suggs doesn't have a triple-double tonight, I'm going to be pretty heartbroken.
My follow-up question, AJ, is will anybody be attending Jonathan Isaac's sermon this year?
The DeVos family, and that's probably it.
But you'll be the one to let us know via Spotify Green Room, because you'll be attending, because you never miss a Jonathan Isaac sermon. Because you like to share your own experiences on the app as the Magic expert of Orlando. And if you'd like to hear these expert takes from AJ and all other kinds of people, all you need to do is download the Spotify Green Room app for free in the iOS App Store, create a profile, link your Twitter, join the group, and be alerted when Spotify Green Room rooms go live. All right, let's get into it. Week 6 in the NFL. We had bye weeks. The first week of bye weeks, which took away two rookie quarterbacks from us. No Zach Wilson, no Trey Lance this week.
Kind of nice, though, right?
I think it is.
I'm kind of happy we don't have to talk about Zach Wilson. Yeah, a little.
Our first rookie quarterback performance of the week came Sunday morning when Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars took on the Miami Dolphins at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium across the pond. And Trevor and Urban Meyer got their first W of the year thanks to some poor clock management from Brian Flores. The Jags won 23-20. Lawrence threw for 319 to score. I thought he looked quite good.
I think it was his best game of the year.
Yeah, it was definitely his most consistent. They ran the ball really well, too. I thought the offensive line played quite well, too.
Yeah, they just got to give it to James Robinson. And like the last 2 weeks, they kind of figured it out finally.
And like Marvin Jones had a really nice game, and Jamal Agnew provides a spark for that offense, so I think we'll continue to see him play a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you run point on this because I'm going to be doing Mac and our good friend Davis Mills. But I did want to mention a couple things quick before I hand it over to you. I thought he looked really strong under pressure and he was delivering strikes. And he consistently attacks downfield, which I feel like is something you missed with some of the other quarterbacks. And the pressure doesn't ever seem to really fluster him. And he extends plays really well. In some highlight plays I wrote down, the touchdown to Marvin Jones, yeah, where he kind of perfect backside shoulder, high placement where the DB couldn't make a play.
Yeah, no eye, baby. Got his first start. He just put a laser over top of him.
Yeah. And that came off a play action pass out of the gun, which had some pressure up the middle, and he just stood strong. Start of the second half, there's pressure coming from Van Ginkel, and he ripped a perfect ball to Agnew, which was also back shoulder away from the corner, but underneath the safety. I thought that was a really beautiful throw. And then the third and nine on the game-tying drive, another perfect back shoulder ball to Marvin Jones. He was just, which you, I remember when, like a while ago, you talked about how the back shoulder was always his bread and butter at Clemson. We were seeing that a lot in this game, I thought.
You highlighted the three throws that I wanted to highlight, funny enough. And going back to the Agnew, that was just nasty. Like, Agnew down the seam, like you said, over the one corner and between, like in front of and between two more safeties. It was like just the balls to make that throw with the trust in your arm, the trust in your elite playmaker in Jamal Agnew, one of the highest paid players on the team. That was just a silly throw. That was an amazing throw. I definitely think it was his best performance of the year. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think collectively Trevor Lawrence has made, if you were to cut the 10 best rookie throws this year, like Trevor Lawrence has made like six of them.
And like Fields might make up the other four, to be honest, even though he isn't. I don't know. Like Mac Jones. I mean, you'll get to Mac later.
Davis Mills, actually.
Yeah, David. Okay, Davis got one. No, you're totally right. Like,
but it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. No. I
great.
Don't...
Great performance. It was he's clearly early in the season. We saw a lot of kind of forced throws, and obviously, I think he's thrown 8 interceptions so far. This game was a lot more clean, and there was a lot. Although he continued to be aggressive attacking downfield, there's a lot less balls thrown into conflict.
Yeah, you know what I think it is? I think it's they finally figured out the running game. Urban's got his head up his ass, and they're running more play action.
His fingers are out of his butt. His fur butt.
Yeah.
That was bad.
It made me laugh. It's okay. Exactly, though. And they're just figuring it out a bit. He's becoming more comfortable. And I think you kind of touched upon it that, like, just his fuel for pressure, I think, has been so impressive, more so than any other quarterback. It feels like every snap that he's getting pressure, he's just, you know, those subtle little moves in the pocket to make, you know, a little glancing step up or you know, just even the shoulder shimmy, kind of creating space in the pocket for himself, sometimes getting out of the pocket, and then the ability that we know with his arm outside the pocket and making those throws. No, I think he's been really impressive. And if this team wasn't such a shit show, I think he would have looked better from the start too.
I was about to say, of all the rookie quarterbacks through 6 weeks, he's like, I despite the up and down play and the, like you said, the shit show around him, I have full faith he's gonna pan out and be the guy everyone thought he was gonna be. Like, because even when he hasn't played his best, those moments have been there. No, and, like, totally. It's just so clear, especially, like, some of the throws he makes when he's on the move out of structure and just the way he can square himself up. And he's just so mechanically, like, perfect. I don't know. He's still, like, even when he's playing poorly, he's been really, really fun to watch.
Totally. And you know what, though? I noticed again, I don't know if you remember, but I pointed this out last week, where it feels like he's missing those outside throws, like, just off receivers' fingertips. And I think this came back a little bit against Miami. And it's like, if he, they always feel like, you know, a chain mover, or like one where if he plays it better, it'd be a touchdown. I feel like if he can just clean that one more thing up going forward, and they keep on this train. I think he's going to put a really nice season together. I totally agree that he's been the most impressive of the bunch.
100%. I'm hopeful that continues. Like, just these types of games, they go into their bye week this week, so we won't have them next week. And speaking of bye weeks, no Zach Wilson, no Trey Lance this week, but you got to watch Justin Fields. I've been hogging the Justin Fields games. Was that your first time watching?
I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I might have got the one where he played a couple snaps, but not the one. Yeah.
So they obviously lose to the Packers. But he threw for 174, a score, a pick, 6 carries for 43 yards. So what'd you think?
I like how he's like, it's like he's your baby, and you go like, it's just, what do you think about it? I thought Fields was good, not great. I still agree with you that it's like everything around him is still limiting him. They got him to a rhythm sometimes, you know, like the, like second play, you know, just play action, easy dump off to the tight end for easy yards. I think they got to do more of that stuff. I think this was all the first drive. A second down, he just a nice rip to Mooney on the sideline. Maybe his best throw of the day came there, where he lofted it just over the corner into the honey hole there for a first down to A-Rob. That was a great throw. Fumbled the snap earlier in that drive, but I think it was on the center more than it was on him. Got pass interference in the end zone after that honey hole shot. So they put together a nice drive there. I'll talk about Khalil Herbert later, who played a great game. The pick, can't blame him for it. It came on what he thought was a free play. He just chucked it deep, like deep into the back of the end zone. The Packer, I forget who it was, made the pick. Then the flag never came out. And I think it was the wrong call by the refs. Hard to blame Fields for that, but I guess he's got to have his eye on the flag. I don't know. Funny enough, nearly threw an interception on like an almost identical play, except no free play scenario this time. But again, I don't know, from 30 yards out, just chucked it into the corner of the end zone. But this time, like, Adrian Amos just kind of came out of nowhere, caught it, ruled him out of bounds. I don't know if he was, though. Call stood, luckily for Justin Fields. But those were kind of two strange plays on his game. The worst play I think he made, though, he took a really, really, really bad sack to create like a fourth and forever at the end of the game. Basically ended the game virtually. But on a whole, I think he looks impressive. I don't know if like the big time throws are there, but he still like has, I think his average depth of the target was like 11 or 12 yards. So he's still pushing the ball down the field more than a lot of these rookies are. I still want to fire Matt Nagy and get a real coach in there for him. But like, imagine what like Brian Daboll could do with Justin Fields. I think that would be so much fun. Like just watching what he's done with Josh Allen, like ridiculous. Again, I think that's what it comes down to. But you're seeing the glimpses. I'm not worried in the least about Justin Fields. He just feels like, again, I haven't gotten to see him too much. To me, he feels like an NFL quarterback. Regardless of the rookie mistakes, I think he's legit.
My main takeaway, just from the box score, that makes me want to ask you is 6 carries for 43 yards. He wasn't doing much as a runner in the games I had been watching. Were these designed? Was this
more scrambly again? Yeah. Yeah. I think they had like one or two were designed, but mostly scrambles.
Okay.
Off the top of the dome there. All right. Yeah. No, I know. I like to see them incorporate that more again, but the traditional running game was working for them this week. I mean, again, more on Herbert later. That wasn't really an issue. I don't know. The Bears just kind of suck, I think, is the issue.
Yeah. Okay, moving to Mac Jones, who threw for 229, 2 scores, a pick, and OT lost to the Cowboys. It was a more aggressive week from Mac Jones. I think he pushed the ball down the field more in this game than he had in the other 5 games combined this year. A lot of it came in the first half. Really nothing in the second half. So in the first half, he had a play action out of the gun. 15-yard throw to Brandon Bolden on like a seam shot straight out of the backfield. Pretty good ball. He had a 20-yard play-action seam throw to Hunter Henry that he put high between the corner and the safety that went for a touchdown. It was a really nice play by Hunter Henry, but a good placement for Mac Jones. And then out of the gun off his back foot, he floated it about 35 yards through the air into Nelson Aguilar's breadbasket. So those were kind of his three big plays of the first half. The offensive line did, I thought, a very good job. They ran the ball pretty well, too. And then they really... So that was all in the first half. They took a lead in the halftime. They really didn't ask him to do much in the second half until the Cowboys started to come back. Obviously, there was the pick six to Trevon Diggs. That you can't blame Mac. Like, that went off his receiver's hands. So kind of throw that pick out the window. But the impressive thing is that he went right back at Diggs, and he hit Kendrick Bourne on note and up out of the gun. That he put perfectly time ball and placed ball to put it where Bourne could climb the ladder and KZ couldn't get there, and Bourne had to step on Diggs. So that, I thought that was a really awesome throw. Then in overtime, they got the ball, and he hit Aguilar with space to run on like a quick ball, and it looked like had Aguilar caught it, naturally he dropped it. Had he caught it, he would have like at least picked up the yardage to set up a field goal, I think. He dropped it. Mac came right back and hit Jacoby Myers in traffic. That was a pretty good throw. Then third and three, he went back shoulder to Aguilar, and they just didn't really seem to be on the same page. Aguilar didn't really seem to be looking for the ball. And then they ended up punting, and the Cowboys, CeeDee Lamb, put it to bed. So overall, I thought there's very few conflict throws. He doesn't take very many risks, which can be good and bad.
Mm.
But because of the play calling, there was more opportunity to go downfield in this game with the play action. Like, he looks his best on play action throws and plays out of the gun. There was still a lot of layups, like slants, RPOs, screens, dumps to the RBs. But they mixed in more intermediate shots, which I thought was nice. And a lot of it is seam shots. Yeah. He had a strip sack where he just didn't really feel the pressure at all. And he just doesn't really move around very much.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to do a better job, I think, understanding and recognizing down and distance. And at least trying to extend plays and feel pressure. Just because he's a very much a statue in the pocket.
Yeah, I've noticed games where, like, he'd do an okay job of that. And other games, like this one, where he's just, like, not even trying to make guys miss. Like, I think it was week two where he had the one where he tried to, like, put, like, a little shimmy on a guy. And, like, it just didn't work, and he got completely blown up. And that Gregory sack, he just fucking leveled him.
It was the last time I did a Mac game, he had two or three nice little plays out of structure. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, this week, just none at all. But it was a lot of what we've seen from him. He's not dynamic, but he's consistent. Like, they can, if they're going to be a ball control offense that plays good defense, they can make that work with Mac Jones. Yeah. I just really worry that the ceiling isn't very high at all.
Hey, early Tom Brady, that's all they were. Don't forget.
Yeah, the game hasn't changed though.
Mac will get some new tuck. He'll get some new tuck rule going from when they make the playoffs this year.
Now, to move to a more dynamic quarterback, I also had Davis Mills, who took on the Colts this week. Davis Mills continues to either be amazing or horrible. And so next week he's going to be amazing.
Oh, okay. This is a bad one. All right.
So you're going to want to do the Texans games next week because you don't want me getting to have all the fun with Mills Mafia.
How do you look this week?
So threw for 243, two picks in the loss to the Colts. It felt like they were trying not to put too much on his plate. Like, they called a lot of screens that just went for absolutely no gain. Like, the Colts DBs were just hammering everything in front of them. There was a lot of throws that were kind of the first read, throw it no matter what. He short-armed a deep ball to Cooks that would have been a touchdown. So that kind of sucked. On the Texans' lone scoring drive, he tried to throw an out, and they were like, this pass was like at the Colts 5, like to the Colts 5, and Kari Willis was just undercut it and should have had a pick. Like, maybe a pick six had he caught it and been faster than I know Kari Willis is. So their only scoring drive, it should have been a turnover. His first interception, you just threw it directly at Darius Leonard over the middle, and that was to kick off the second half. The second INT was their second to last drive, where he had Cooks on with a one-on-one on Isaiah Rodgers, and he just didn't lay it out far enough in front of Cooks, and Rodgers leaped, picked it. It was a nice play. But he did continue. He does this. He's oddly good on the move.
Yeah, he is.
So he scrambled out of pressure on a 3rd and 5 and ripped one over the middle to Nico Collins. More on him later. He looked really good on. He looked good when they were calling play action rollouts, and he hit a tight end on a crosser. That was pretty nice. I just think he does a good job avoiding pressure and throwing off platform at times. It's strange. And this was the same thing last week. All his highlight throws, he's on the move and making plays. There's, I don't know, he's got a little something to him. Like, I don't think he's good, but, like, he's got the stuff. I think he's shown enough that you believe he can be a backup that can start 2 or 3 games a year if you need it. They also just have so few playmakers. Like Brandon Cooks is actually dynamic, but you know I've always thought that. Nico Collins is kind of coming into his own.
That's huge.
He was a big play guy on third downs for them. But yeah, outside of that, like, I don't know. Their running backs are not good.
They have so many Pro Bowls though.
The offensive line didn't play that terribly, though, even without Laremy Tunsil. The tight ends are just, like, kind of a non-factor, but I don't know. Given the circumstances, like, good for Davis Mills is still what I, like, even though he didn't play very well and they lost, like, good for Davis Mills.
Yeah, like for a guy who didn't play a lot of college ball and is on one of the worst rosters, if not the worst roster in the league, good for him. Like, it's hard to shit on him, you know?
Exactly. Like, he's, like, not unfun, like I said. When he's, like, he makes a couple throws a game where you're, like, I can see why
he was a 5-star teams baby.
Like him. Yeah. why he was the number one quarterback recruit.
Yeah.
Anyway. I it doesn't sound like we'll see Trey Lance this week, so again, no Trevor Lawrence, so only a couple quarterbacks once again next week. Rookie of the week. I had a tough time with both. I didn't have any like dominant performance on either side of the ball.
I agree with you.
Who'd you end up picking for offense?
I gave it to Jalen Waddle, and
okay, so that's what I did too. And I figured you would as well. And it wasn't like an amazing game.
Agree.
13 targets, 10 catches, 70 yards. Both the Dolphins, touchdowns against the Jags. But, like, it was a nice little bounce-back game for him.
Yeah, and I had him underwhelming, I think, last week. Or
yeah.
Might have even had him worse. So, like, I wanted to give him some credit because it was a nice bounce-back. And to me, you know what I really just felt like is that they're finally figuring out how to use him. And, like you said, 13 targets. I think Tua being back was just huge for Waddle. Also, they traded Jakeem Grant. So, Waddle's the kick returner now. So, I like just giving him more opportunities, and 65% of his snaps were out of the slot, and it was kind of immediate. I think the first like 3 plays of the game he was involved on. One of them was a false start, unfortunately, but other than that, he had that like really nice like just first down mover in traffic. Another third,
yeah. The one like kind of where him and Albert Wilson were almost in the same spot, and he just attacked the ball and picked up the first down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then like he had that just third down quick out, 3rd and 3 mover.
Yeah, and then the slant for the touchdown.
Yeah, exactly. Where it was just good design, and you know, no one's gonna catch him off the line of scrimmage like that.
They're doing a good job, kind of manufacturing him touches. The other touchdown came on a kind of a
line him up in the backfield. Yeah,
yeah, and just out of the backfield into the flats.
Yep, smart. They're finally using him smartly.
I'm glad they're getting him touches, but it does kind of suck because, and this is not his fault. It does kind of suck because we know how dynamic he can be as a downfield guy, but their offense just doesn't mm-hmm. seem to take advantage of that at all. It was a lot of tight ends downfield this week.
They're wide open to give him some credit, but yeah, it is.
Yeah, more on that later. But again, it was nice. Like, we saw Waddle pick up a few key first downs. We saw his quickness being a mismatch out of the slot to break open on quick routes. But now I hope the next step is we get him a couple more downfield shots. Not again, not his fault he's not getting them. But you're right about that. That opening Dolphins drive I thought was like the best drive I've seen Tua have this like in his career. And Waddle was a huge, huge part of that.
You know what? The one more play to highlight that throw where Tua, it was almost like the first down mover, where like he just had that really sick catching traffic where Tua just like absolutely ripped it in there. I thought that was a really impressive play overall. And yeah, no, I agree. I didn't have a real standout on offense or on defense. So if we're ready to move on, I'll jump to defense where I'm going to give it to a guy that was on a team with a bad defensive performance, but I thought he was really good. And it's Patrick Surtain of the Broncos. He got targeted a lot, 6 targets at him, only allowed 3 catches for 27 yards, had a PBU. The rest of the defense was pretty shit. Like, so I didn't have like anyone superstar-y. So like, I thought like for him, he looked like the best player on that Broncos defense. So a rookie standing out like that on a defense that was supposed to be really good in a shitty game, I thought he was really impressive. Played the run pretty well. No superstar this week. So I thought Surtain just rock solid back there when the rest of the secondary was pretty shit.
It's funny because I ended up going with a corner as well, on a defense that played well, but a guy who we've been kind of up and down, or more down than up on him. I thought Robert Rochelle had a really solid game for the Rams. Got his first career interception as well. Early on, he was getting housed by Kadarius Toney. But then Toney got hurt, and Robert Rochelle like came into his own and looked good for the rest of the game, and the Rams defense as a whole had, I think, their best game this season. He ended up playing 95% of the snaps, and he's a guy who I just didn't think was going to have much of an impact when the Rams took him. But now he's playing starter snaps for them, and he's playing on the outside, and he looked good mirroring. He looked like his eyes looked good. Finding the ball in phase, like, I don't know, it was just not a spectacular game, but especially because he was getting cooked early and then he kind of came and found his way. I figured I'd highlight him this week.
Yeah, Putnam needs to step up last week because he was kind of terrible against the Seahawks on Thursday night, but like you said, he's playing a lot of ball for them, so him stepping up, and like even after, you know, they were feeding Toney over him early, and then like you said, he bounced back, so that's big for him. I agree.
So who's your worst rookie?
Yeah, so this is a guy who bounced back from the preseason and has just been slipping kind of since. Worst rookie might be a bit steep, but kind of like best rookie, I didn't have an outlandishly bad performance. So I put Penei Sewell, and this is really just because of expectations I put him here. Like I said, I think he's gotten worse since those first couple games. And like he's not an abject disaster in this week against the Bengals or anything, but like gave up one sack early where he just got completely out leveraged and just, you know, ridden around, and they got to Goff. Had a holding call that would have been another sack, so he prevented another one. PFF only credited him with 2 pressures against, but I'm sure there were more. Like this one, maybe not so much on him, but there was another sack that he blocked Hendrickson like just around the pocket, and Goff went to escape on the other side on the right side, but Hendrickson closed down on him and made the sack. So like you could never blame Sewell on that sack. But I don't know. He didn't show that, like, SOB attitude at all. I'd like to see him finish that instead of just, you know, letting Henderson work his way around the pocket and get to Goff. Like, again, not a, like in the scheme of an offensive line, you can't blame the sack on him. But I'd just like to see his, you know, a bit more fire instead of just kind of riding him around and shoving him. In space, in the run game, I felt like he just wasn't finding someone to block at times. Run blocking just pretty meh overall to me. I feel like he's been below average there. You see glimpses, but like it's not all bad. But when he's that, you know, when he was picked that high, and I loved him so much, you just expect more.
I'll go with a duo of Chargers linebackers. The Canadian undrafted out of Oklahoma State, Amon Ogbon. AJ, can you say it?
I'm not confident. Ogbemega, I can't say it confidently either.
Yeah, he ended up playing 58% of the snaps, and then Nick Neiman a little bit too. who actually look good on special teams, but the Ravens look like just ran the ball at will over the Chargers. The Chargers put up zero fight. Like Lamar didn't have his best passing game, but the Chargers could not stop the run, and these guys were issues, especially Amon. He's slow. Two, he couldn't get off blocks. He was just getting blown up throughout the game, and he's playing a ton.
They talked him up a lot during the preseason and camp.
Well, that's, I mean, respect. I don't know what to tell you. He looked bad.
Yeah, at least we're going to get a couple Canadians mentioned on the show today. I like that.
Yeah, it's true. Primetime star.
From an Oklahoma State to Oklahoma, how about the duo of the rookie cornerback, Trace? Has to be them. Come on. Who else is going to be?
I actually considered putting Trey Norwood for Defensive Rookie of the Week.
I know you would.
He only played 15 snaps, so I was like, nah, that's like kind of bullshit. But his snaps are so impactful.
Yeah.
He had the PBU. He had the TFL. He looked great. And it's fun because he's like carved out the role of the Swiss Army knife DB for that Steelers defense that kind of Cam Sutton used to play mm-hmm. before he became the starting outside corner. And Norwood, a pick I didn't love, not that it was a big deal because it was late, but he's been exactly what they need in terms of depth. And he's just been so impactful when he's on the field.
Yeah, so flipping to Brown, he just came back from injury, been banged up, finally got on the field because of Sidney Jones going down. Ended up playing 53% of the snaps this week. Looked good, too. Didn't really see him giving up much of anything. And the big highlight was that third down tackle where he came off his man. Ray looked like he was going to have the first down easy, and he just shot down and blew him up to keep him short on the first down. Thought that was a big-time play. So it's so different now because I think going forward, you got to give Brown the luck. I mean, the team fucking sucks. The season looks lost. Give Trey Brown the luck. Get Stone Forsythe in there, too, because it's not like Dwayne Brown's having a kind of rough year, too, since the first couple weeks. But anyways, get Brown in there. And with Reed and Brown opposite of each other, it's such a weird change of pace from the old Seahawks that had these monster corners. But these guys are balling, and I think Reed is balling, and Brown, you got to give him the chance.
I'm going to stay with that game and go with the combo of Kendrick Green and Pat Freiermuth. I thought this was Kendrick Green's best game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the Steelers used Freiermuth,
yep.
who had 7 targets, which was like more than the whole season combined almost. Caught all 7 for 58 yards. Looked good blocking. I think those two both had their most important games of the year. And I thought the Steelers' offensive line as a whole played pretty well throughout that game. Dan Moore did get hurt the rookie tackle. I don't know. Like it feels like maybe he's been good when used. He just hasn't been used.
I don't care.
I think he's going to become – I think he's definitely going to become – especially with Juju hurt, and mm-hmm. I think that's why he became that kind of the underneath guy with Claypool and Deontay Johnson – being more big play guys, I think he'll really become the Heath Miller I want him to be, and then it was just nice to see Kendrick Green holding up in pass protection, and getting a push in the run game throughout the game.
Yeah, I think with Freiermuth, totally, I agree. The only thing like I will say, there was a couple not great run blocking reps, but other than that, no, I agree. And I don't know why. I mean, I guess you might have said it because Juju being around and now he's gone, but he totally should just be that security blanket for Ben.
Yeah, I'm really hoping, because obviously Claypool is the big play guy. Deontay Johnson's more of, like, he can be the big play guy, but he's the more intermediate quick route
mm-hmm.
Guy. And for him, you can just sit down in the zone, pick up 7 yards when you need it.
Yep, no, I totally agree.
Underwhelming performance.
I'm sticking in the same game. So you've been hogging Justin Fields because you're an Ohio State guy. You've been obviously been watching all the Steelers game. I get my first look at Najee Harris, and I kind of just wanted to echo what you said. Yeah, he had 127 yards combined, but I don't know. He didn't look too impressive to me. So I just wanted
the yardage is his usage is big.
Exactly.
But he's not making big splash plays.
I think he had two runs of 15 or more, which Okay. But it was, again, it was just kind of easy yardage. PFF, one force missed tackle.
Yeah. That's not... He hasn't been breaking tackles.
Yeah. And I remember the play where Bobby Wagner was in coverage of him. Luckily, he had space, and Bobby just closed down on him easy. Yeah. It was a great play by Wagner, but your rookie running back, like, you gotta make old man Bobby miss, right?
And that's been happening throughout the year, yeah. Especially like you can chalk up some of the lack of forced missed tackles in the run game to the offensive line.
Yeah.
But really, what's been, I think, the issue is when he's got the ball as a pass catcher in space, he is not at all consistently won one-on-one.
Yeah, and look, I was maybe the biggest Najee Harris fan coming into the draft. I had a big grade on him. I was ready for him to be a superstar. And I know going to Pittsburgh, like I figured he would have his growing pains because the offensive line sucked. But they've used him so well. Like the Steelers have used him really well in the passing game, but he has just not made the most of those opportunities. And yeah, he had a touchdown, but... No, I agree. It's kind of what you've been saying all year, and I finally got my first look at him, and I wanted to just kind of echo your thoughts. Because I knew we kind of – it was a little like we knew we'd talk about him. I'll throw two more names out. The Chiefs offensive linemen, Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith. Creed Humphrey's been fantastic all year. Kind of just fell back down to earth. That's kind of why I put him here against that tough Washington front. I thought Humphrey like just wasn't finding work a lot. Like, he wasn't terrible by any means, and he's, like I said, he's been so great, but this was a bit of a struggle where he lost a couple one-on-one reps, just kind of looking a little lost at times, and the Chiefs' offense didn't really play well. And Trey Smith, kind of the same thing, just that's a tough Washington front, so it's hard to really kill him, but just wanted to say that they kind of slowed down a bit this week.
I'll go with a pair of Cowboys who we've talked about a lot in Micah Parsons and Oso Digizua. Both struggled, I thought, against the Patriots. It was less of a bad game and more of they've set the expectations mm-hmm. pretty high and yeah. they didn't follow through. But, yeah, like, Micah Parsons played 100% of the snaps. And wow. He was getting swallowed up at times against the run, like, just not getting off blocks. And then kind of getting sucked up by the play action. I was talking about Mac Jones attacking the seam earlier. Like Michael Parsons was kind of being taken out of position at times, which made those throws easier. And Osa, I thought, was just getting moved a lot in the run game. And like Damien Harris was like not getting touched, so he was like 5 yards downfield pretty consistently.
Yeah, I think Osa didn't play a good game because I started him in fantasy this week.
Nice. Michael Parsons also was playing more like just basically only true off ball linebacker in this game. And he had by far his least amount of like pass rush opportunities,
which seems a little silly to me. But hey, the Cowboys won. No, and with Osa too, I thought it was gonna be like a good matchup. Like the Pats offensive line is banged up, so I thought there would be like a good chance for Odigizua to show, especially with like you know the America's Game of the Week situation. But yeah, no, I totally agree with you. Good takes there.
Who was looking like a hit for you?
So. I mentioned him a few times. He finally got his first start this week, and he was the best offensive lineman on the Minnesota Vikings. Christian Darrisaw, baby, looked good. The first rep I kind of wanted to point out, maybe my favorite one, just a really nice in overtime where he was already engaged on like they tried to do like the old like inside slant where they try to take out the tackle and then they blitzed Hassan Reddick from the outside. So he was helping on the double team on the slant, and then Reddick came on the blitz. And he just kind of handled the inside rusher. And then when Reddick came, just took him out of the play with like just a one-arm pop and Kirk made the throw. I thought that was really impressive. And then just overall, we didn't see the nasty run blocking that he was known for. But we saw that like gliding explosiveness he had at Vautech. And I thought he was better in pass pro, which I don't think we would have expected early. But like that's almost more promising because you know the run blocking is going to come. Looked like a big dancing bear, smooth, easy feet. They credit with one pressure given up, but I think just an extremely, extremely promising start for Christian Darrisaw and the Vikings for sure.
Love to hear it. You know what else you'll love to hear?
What, Rob?
My looks like a hit is a guy who made his NFL debut for the Baltimore Ravens. Rashad Bateman.
Yeah.
Though he had a drop. 6 targets, 4 catches, only 29 yards, but all 4 went for first downs. Mm-hmm. He was operating really smoothly out of the slot. Lamar also missed him bad on what would have been 15, 20-yard gain on a play across the middle. But he was just easily, like, considering it was his first game, there wasn't much rust, and he was just easily working himself open. He looked great off the line. I think he's going to be a really nice compliment to Hollywood, who does so much as an explosive downfield guy, where as Bateman can win those 50-50 balls, but he just looks so smooth coming off the line and in and out of his routes. Gave me some Stevie Johnson vibes at times. And he ended up playing 65% of the snaps, so you best believe that injury is not going to slow him down.
I think the highlight there is 4 catches all went for first downs, because I think that's what we were hoping for from Bateman in this Ravens offense. Where, I'm a giant Hollywood Brown fan. I thought they were going to complement each other really well, and they are working Hollywood deeper. Like they finally, and they're getting that going. And now perfectly, like you just said, Bateman just being that chain mover is going to be huge for the Ravens.
Big time. You know what? I'll just continue with my looks like a miss, because it's a receiver from the same game. Josh Palmer.
Mm. He hasn't done much of anything, eh?
They gave him opportunities in this game. Just 1 for 8. Had 4 targets. Him and Justin Herbert just don't seem to be on the same page. He played 52% of the snaps, too. And you would think, based on his skill set and what he did at Tennessee, that he would fit in in the role that Jalen Guyton and Tyron Johnson had as those deep threats to complement Keenan Allen and Mike Williams last year. And he just hasn't kind of taken that by the reins. I don't know. There just doesn't seem to be much chemistry between Palmer and Herbert right now. And he just isn't really getting open or doing anything when he's on the field.
Yeah, it felt like he walked right into the perfect situation, like you just said, when they had UDFA guys making big plays. And Palmer, we know he's talented. Everyone from Brampton's talented, so we already know that. No, I totally agree, though. And you thought, like even watching this Chargers offense this year, where Mike Williams is becoming a big-time deep threat and finally coming into his own, and Keenan Allen's still Keenan Allen, it's like even more so of a chance for Palmer to be that big play guy. And no, it totally has been a disappointment for sure. I hope he, second half of the season, I hope he gets it together. I don't mean to go back to the well here, Rob, but it was another rough week for Liam Eikenberg. And
I put him for not ready to play.
That's where I had him last week. Yeah. So.
Oh.
No. Let's talk about him. No, you're right. He's not. So I went from ready to the worst. Or yeah.
He's especially not ready to play left tackle.
No.
I could see him being on the field because of what that offensive line is as a guard right now.
Yeah.
I didn't think he looked terrible in the run game. There's a couple good blocks. But he's such a work in progress in pass protection, just because he doesn't seem to have the athleticism or the feet to mirror guys. And I don't know, you mix that in with like poor hand placement, and then he's playing really high. And it just, I don't know, it's a big, big mess. And the Jaguars, and it wasn't just Josh Allen, it was like DeJuan Smoot was getting after him. So I don't know, he's definitely not ready to play left tackle. That was going to be my argument.
No, I totally agree. And the thing is, though, he's better than Austin Jackson at left tackle. So it's like,
yeah, I know.
He's between a rock and a hard place a little bit, where he's not, that's not his right spot, but he's the best option there. And Jackson looks like way less of a liability at guard. So like the Dolphins didn't give up a sack this week, but it's the Jags. And from PFF, he was beaten by his defender on 7 of his 51 pass blocking snaps, allowed 6 hurries, and had like 13 bad snaps. So, yeah, just what I was going to hit was, like, I thought he was going to be plug and play. That's why I got him as a miss. I thought, like, you're going to find him in the second round, third round. You're going to come in, plug and play him, put him wherever. They got him a left tackle. Probably never going to be a Pro Bowl guy, not a huge upside guy. But I thought he'd, like, be an above-average starter early, and he just hasn't been. And, like, that wouldn't have been my pick for the Dolphins, but I argued it when they made it. You were a little, I don't know, there's better tackles or offensive linemen in general. But I'm like, okay, I can argue it because he seems like just a sure guy. The offensive line last year was a disaster. You bring him in, he can stabilize it a bit. And while he's kind of helped Austin Jackson out a little bit, I guess, the Miami offensive line is still a disaster. So, no, I totally agree.
Well, you know what else you'll agree with me on, AJ?
Symbol, baby.
That's right. Symbol is the sports stock market that allows you to profit off your sports knowledge. There are two ways to make money on Symbol. First, every time a team you own wins, you earn a cash win payout. Second, just like the stock market, if you think a team is going to increase in value, you can buy low and sell high for a profit. Use promo code SD to make your first deposit risk-free. That means even if you lose money or just decide the market isn't for you, Symbol will refund your initial deposit, no questions asked. But if you do have questions, head on down to Spotify Green Room, the live audio-only sports talk platform where you can ask questions about sports via a free-to-download app from the iOS App Store, where you can talk to all kinds of people in the sports realm. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. Share your own experiences on the app. AJ, based on what you experienced on Sunday, who needs to step it up?
Quickly, can I say, imagine you got on Symbol a year and a half ago, and you bought Coastal Carolina stock. You'd be in the fucking money right now, baby. But
that's a good point.
But this guy played at a school that's won more games than Coastal Carolina by an infinite amount. Devontae Smith. I just thought another not impressive game on Thursday night from him. Had that one really, really ugly drop on the deep sideline that should have been a big play. And I don't know. Like, the offense for the Eagles is not pretty right now. They're getting clapped when they run the ball, so they're pretty predictable. Remember the one throw they had to play DB on a third down throw, and it's like, I don't know. I don't think he's been bad, but they just need him. They need him. They need to figure out a way.
It's hard to blame him because he's getting open at times.
And just, yeah, it's like, I'm not really blaming him. It's just they need him. Like, because, I don't know. Like,
sorry, you're just trying to create content.
Yeah, that's all I'm doing. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, no, I agree. It's a good point.
Nice catch over the middle and some traffic for a big first down. But other than that, I'm creating content.
Okay, I didn't need to create content because I got a pair of first-round edge rushers who need to step it up. Kwity Paye. Against the Texans, you would think Kwity Paye had a chance to have his breakout game. Played 59% of the snaps. Just doesn't seem to have any idea of what he's doing on pass rushing reps. It's a lot of just explosive off the snaps. Slam into Jerron Christian. Do nothing. Like, Jerron Christian shouldn't be handling him. So that was kind of scary. He had on what I thought he picked it. They called it back for hitting the ground. But he dropped into coverage and made a ridiculous interception that just didn't get the stand, though. That was cool. I also thought Jalen Phillips didn't look very good at all against the Jaguars. And he's had a couple solid performances this year. But played 82% against Jacksonville, and I think my biggest concern, less than Cam Robinson locking him down in pass rush reps, was he looked really bad against the run. He kept crashing and not setting the edge or just getting blown out of place by Cam Robinson. And you mentioned earlier the Jags running game with James Robinson. There was a couple times where James Robinson easily got the edge and ripped off chunk runs. And multiple times, Jalen Phillips being out of position was why.
On pay, the one thing, look, I'm gonna defend my guy. Looks pretty good the first 2 weeks, and then got banged up with that hamstring injury. So just coming back from that, maybe he can, you know, I'm not saying you're an idiot for saying that he's not good. I'm just saying maybe him just needs to find his footing there.
Worth mentioning, Deo Odeyingbo was at practice for the first time today for the Colts.
That's exciting. On yeah. Phillips, yeah, every time I've done the fins,
he had one massive, I remember.
It was your game.
It was like week three, yeah. I think he was my defensive rookie of the week, and he looked fucking great.
Every game I've watched, he really has not stood out.
Interesting. Oh, I also put Javon Holland here, because I didn't think he played very well against Jacksonville. He had the unnecessary roughness penalty, and
bad call.
A handful of missed, yeah, was it? At first, I thought they were calling him for PI.
Yeah, no, it was a bad. He had that PBU, and then he had, like, a pressure right after that. I didn't think he was terrible. Yeah, he
did. I just thought he missed too many tackles on James Robinson.
But everyone does. I think, like, he's still kind of a bright spot for that Dolphins team. Marvin Jones beat him too, yeah, true.
Yeah. Not ready to play. I have Liam Meichenberg. Lots of Dolphins here. Who you got?
Okay. This is a person that I just think we had to bring up this week. Caleb Farley, who obviously tore his ACL in the second quarter, which fucking sucks. This was his first start, and the Bills went right after him immediately. Only played 18 snaps, five targets, allowed five catches in all three for 62 yards, missed a few tackles.
Yeah, he was getting cooked right away. And then, yeah, the awkward, like, it was weird how his knee went, too.
Yeah, so, like, I'm not going to say they rushed him back or anything like that because, obviously, he's coming back off injury. This is, like, the worst.
Bad situation.
Yeah, the worst case scenario that you can even dream of where he didn't look good and then he had the ACL. Like, that just really fucking sucks for Farley.
Yeah, it does. Best day three rookie, I put the Trey Brown and the Trey Norwood of the Oklahoma here.
I got two running backs. Khalil Herbert, already mentioned, got the show for the Bears, and he almost had 100 yards on 19 carries, a touchdown, a couple catches. He just looks good, man. He's just a solid back. Like, right off the bat, he had a really nice run first play of the game, punched it in later. Just constant cutback. He's a cutback king, I think. Like, they keep going outside zone. He's just stopping and cutting it back. He had one where he did that. Cut it back. Like, if he was at the right tackle, cut it back all the way around for a 15-yard gain. He's just solid. He's just very, very solid. And now, like, him changing a pace for David Montgomery, who's also been, like, you know, obviously before his injury, he's been good and last year was good. That's going to be a really, really dynamic duo for the Bears. Staying in the Great Lakes region, kind of. Chris Evans, Captain America, baby. Not as, like, a flashy performance, 4 carries, 18, but it was what he did in the receiving game. 3 catches, 49 yards, touchdown, where they lined him up wide. He just cooked. Jalen Reeves may have been off the line. It was beautiful. Got to the end zone, caught it. It was just so cool seeing him, and obviously he's been doing it, but just, like, the route running skills that he flashed at the Senior Bowl. We didn't get to see it too much at Michigan, but, you know, watching Senior Bowl tape, practice tape, we saw it. And it's translated directly into the NFL.
Who did you find any undrafted rookies?
I got one to this.
My only real impact or undrafted rookie who played was horrible. So
who was it?
Eamon. Haman.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So mine wasn't great. Like, but I think, because we don't have too many, I got to talk about him. It's another Detroit Lions undrafted rookie corner that I forgot existed. It's Jerry Jacobs from Arkansas, who, like, I think he opted out last year and declared early. It was an Ark State transfer. Like, I don't know if he's worth being called the best player, but he made a few plays. One, he came down on Mixon, where they just jumped it off to Mixon. Laid a really nice hit, forced the fumble. Mixon recovered it, but still. He gave up a decent amount of yardage. He was on Jamar Chase a lot. Kind of like they just did a lot of, like, soft zone. He was giving up underneath stuff, which is, like, the scheme. I don't know what the fuck. He did have one where Chase kind of beat him deep, caught it. But then, like, he just a really great hustle play to, like, chase him down. Like, chase him down fast. He only got, like, 4 yards after the catch or something. Saved the touchdown. I don't know. It's kind of fun watching these rando Lion DBs come out of nowhere and have their, like, AJ Parker, Jacobs, like, they keep having a couple of games, and I don't know. It's kind of fun to watch. 6 tackles and that PBU and a PBU.
You love the Lions.
They play a lot of rookies. You got to appreciate it.
See, that's the problem with the Texans is they don't.
Yeah, they
other
suck.
Than Davis Mills.
Yeah.
Actually, more on Nico Collins in a second. Rookie who flashed. Kadarius Toney has to be mentioned because he played 6 snaps before his ankle gave out and had 3 targets for 3 receptions for 36 yards. Like, the Rams couldn't cover him on his 6 snaps. He was like, I had this game and I was like, I took it just because I wanted to watch him, and instantly he was electric, and then he got hurt and the whole game sucked. So I had to mention him, and I have to mention Christian Barmore, who once again looked really good. Like, he was penetrating and pushing the pocket as a pass rusher. He had a big he had a pressure where he hit Dak, and he had a big TFL where he shot a gap. He looks really good.
Speaking of looking good, I'll give you 3 guys. First, I gotta mention Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, who looked really good again, got hurt, which really sucks. 8 tackles before that happened. Had a really skillful PBU where, like, it was just him one-on-one with Kyler, leaped midair, Kyler threw it, and, like, just had to adjust and just adjusted really beautifully and batted the ball down. The injury really sucks. He's been playing so well. He looked like he's going to be a star for the Browns defense. So that really sucks. Trooper Hubbard got his first career touchdown. He looks really solid. Like, just looks like a really solid dude. 61 yards, touchdown. He found a really good home there in Carolina, and especially because, unfortunately, CMC is banged up a lot, and he looks like he can come in and carry the rock for them a lot and a pinch. And lastly, I'm going to mention Derek Barnes, speaking of the Lions, who played 32 snaps, which is his high so far. 9 tackles and a PBU, and I think they just got to get him on the field more often because he looked just really solid to me, and the PBU was really nice. It was in the red zone. Uzama ran a seam. Barnes had his back to the quarterback. Burrow kind of just put it high over top Barnes, and Barnes just read Uzama's hands and made like a really tough, like gritty, fighting him to the ground PBU, and that was really an impressive play, and he felt like when he was in there, he was always around the ball on the run. Like I said, 32 snaps, and he made 10 plays on the ball, basically. I think that's pretty impressive. They just got to work him in more.
My out-of-nowhere rook is Nico Collins because week one, he didn't look very good against Jacksonville, playing a lot of snaps. Week two, he got hurt, and then we didn't see him for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And he came back in week six against the Colts, and despite the Texans sucking, he ended up playing 57% of the snaps, had 4 catches, 44 yards on 6 targets. 3 of them went for first downs. He was just doing a really good job being kind of a power forward over the middle for Davis Mills, which was a nice compliment to Brandon Cooks on the outside. Like, it was just a lot of him posting up and attacking the football and a lot of combat contested catches from him.
I like that.
Him and Cooks are a fun kind of pairing.
I'm going to flip the other side of the ball too, with another guy that helped his stock at the Senior Bowl, ironically, Keith Taylor for the Carolina Panthers, the Washington corner, who was just sticky and physical in coverage all day against a real good group of Minnesota Vikings wide receivers. 10 tackles, 3 PBUs, and forced a fumble. And 2 of his PBUs were just on short throws that he was just right on top of, one with Osborne, one with Thielen. Really physical, but not flag-worthy, played the ball really well and just like got through the receiver, batted it down on a couple of comeback routes. Broke up a deeper one where Justin Jefferson kind of ran a little wheel and just was in a really good spot. Kind of had to dive a little bit. Played the run really well, hence the 10 tackles. It wasn't him giving up a bunch of underneath stuff. Like, he gave up a little bit, but wasn't bad at all. I thought he was pretty impressive. He was in coverage. I don't know if you saw, but the Adam Thielen, really nice diving touchdown. But, like, I don't know if he could have been in any better coverage. Thielen just made a really good play, and Kirk put it on him. So I think that's really promising. And he kind of, like, fits that Carolina Panthers, like, new school, like, defensive attitude. And obviously, the corner's out. Stephon Gilmore's coming back. Obviously, J.C. Horn is out. But him stepping up with the injuries and playing pretty good football, I think that's impressive to see.
I'm going to go with, for start the rook, a different DB who just isn't getting to play very much. Andre Sisco, the Jags took him day 2. He played 2 defensive snaps against the Dolphins. You mentioned earlier how the tight ends for the Dolphins were running wide open. Gesicki, Durham Smythe. By the way, Hunter Long just has no role.
Yeah.
But
dumb pick.
On multiple plays, like, they're starting Andrew Wingard and Rayshon Jenkins as their safeties, who are both similar physical striking safeties. Wingard should probably only be playing special teams. And I was just thinking, put a safety back there in Sisco who has great eyes in zone, has great range and ball skills. There was just a couple plays where I just kept thinking, if Sisco was in there, he might have been able to close the gap, make a play on that ball that Gesicki's easily just going up and getting. And I don't know, I'm just kind of shocked he's playing very little when they took him day 2.
Don't pretend like you don't love Andrew Wingard, though. Like, we all know.
I do.
We got the receipts.
I do, but I don't want him getting burnt in coverage. I don't want people to dislike
him. He plays so much. He's the new Daniel Sorensen, I think, especially with Sorensen getting benched now. my start the rook, a guy who we haven't seen a lot either, Amari Rodgers for the Packers. On the season, he's played a total of 35 snaps, 15 of those have come in week 1. Total, 2 catches for 33 yards. Has got some kick return duties, but only like 8 opportunities there. He had a catch for 14 yards this week. They took him 85th, another top 100 day 2 guy, and he just hasn't got onto the field. And outside of Devontae Adams, it's not like the wide receivers ahead of him in the depth chart are world beaters. By any means, let's get Amari Rodgers involved. And the Packers offense has been up and down. Like, you know what I mean? Let's see what he can do. I do completely blame Randall Cobb, but let's mix Amari Rodgers in there. Let's see what he can do.
Yeah, I would like to see some sort of manufactured touch role for him at some point.
I don't know. They got nothing really going on in that type of game anyways. Like, it's a lot of, like, you know, like MVS and Lazard. It's a lot of, like, you know, just jump ball kind of deeper stuff to them. They don't really have a lot of that going on. And, look, I think Matt LaFleur is a bad coach. I really do think he's a bad coach. The more I watch of him, but I gotta get him a Rodgers. He's involved a little bit, just a little bit.
All right. We got to get out of here. We have a game of the year breaking out in the Fun Belt. Coastal, App State, tied 14, second quarter. AJ, let's go have some fun in the belt.
Go Chance, baby.